They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1, 18 to 20, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in that the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Again, we are looking at some issues coming out of the Hamm-Nye debate, the Ken Hamm, Bill Nye debate. And today we're going to be looking at issues in respect to astronomy. And there were a few of those comments that came out from Bill Nye in regards to astronomy that we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about that with a PhD in astronomy. I think he's also got a PhD in cheer wine, which is a product that comes out of North Carolina, something that he loves dearly, Dr. Danny Faulkner.
Thank you, Steve.
Yep, great to have you with us. And by the way, cheer wine is not a wine, it's a soda, right?
It's a cherry soda. It's a nectar of the gods. People in Carolinas love that stuff.
Yeah, and you don't walk past Dr. Faulkner's office without seeing a can or two of that on his desk. We're going to talk about astronomy. Now, I need to ask you, what were your impressions of the debate? Did you think it was a good debate?
Oh, I enjoyed it very much. I thought both Ken and Bill did a pretty good job. They were different kind of presentations, but they were both well prepared and did a good presentation.
Yeah, great. I do too. I think it was really good, and you could see the very great differences in the worldviews, which is what you want to be able to do with that sort of thing.
Yep.
So, Bill Nye, did he really talk much about astronomy during the debate?
No, not much. He talked about geology and biology and age of the Earth and things like that. He didn't talk on astronomy very much. But when he did, I noticed that he just got things wrong. It's very annoying. I was sitting there quite surprised, actually, and was so taken aback that I had to wait for a few days to look at the transcript to make sure I had heard it properly. Right. I was not entirely convinced I had heard it correctly. I did actually hear it correctly. And I was just a bit taken aback. You know, he is Bill Nye, the science guy.
Right.
And he's also the executive director of the Planetary Society. It's not a professional group, but it is a group of people promoting the exploration of planets and search for extraterrestrial life and so forth. So he was picked to do that, head that up because supposedly of his scientific credentials. So I was a bit taken aback that his knowledge of astronomy seemed pretty poor at points.
Yeah, and it's because of that some people might think we're sort of picking on Bill Nye in this session, but we're really not. That's not our intention. It was a debate that we're wanting to follow up and discuss and talk about, and it's good that we talk about these astronomy issues with somebody who really does know his stuff in Danny Faulkner, who has a PhD in astronomy. I want to give a quote from Bill Nye in respect to the Hubble telescope. And he said this, and Edwin Hubble sat there at this very big telescope night after night studying the heavens, and he found that the stars are moving apart. The stars are moving apart. And he wasn't sure why, but it was clear that the stars are moving farther and farther apart all of the time. What do you make of that quote?
Okay, first of all, he wasn't using the Hubble telescope. He was using the what's called the Hooker Telescope, Mount Wilson. This is back 90 years ago. It's the largest telescope in the world at the time. But it said there, and he's talking about finding the Hubble relation, and Bill Nye said that the Hubble found the stars are moving apart, and then he repeated that twice. Each time the stars are moving apart. And that's not what Hubble found at all. He found that galaxies are moving farther apart. The stars go together to make up galaxies. Galaxies have, you know, billions and billions of stars in them. Our own Milky Way has at least 100 billion stars, probably more. And galaxies similar to it in size have that as well. So when you look at a galaxy, you're looking at hundreds of billions of stars typically. Mm. And so Hubble found that they were getting farther and farther apart, and he found a relationship. You know, the farther away they are, the more faster they seem to be moving away from us, and that's gave rise to what we call the expansion of the universe. But if you look at stars, the stars we see are all within our own galaxy, and some of them are moving toward us, some are moving away. It's just this orbital motion all of us have, including the sun, as we travel along with it as we orbit around the galaxy. So about half of stars move toward, about half move away. Now, I could perhaps say that this was just a misstatement. He misspoke, and he said stars when he meant galaxies. Mm-hmm. But he did say it three times, and he had ample time to correct it each time. Furthermore, in my years of teaching and also in speaking and dealing with creation science and dealing with astronomy, I have found this is a very common misconception. In fact, among many creationists, I'm talking about lay people here, they start mentioning to me or ask me about the Hubble relation, and they say, well, he was finding that the stars are moving apart, or the farther away stars are, the faster they're moving away, or that maybe they would say something like, you can use the Hubble relation to find the distance to stars. Mm. And I always have to correct people and say, no, it refers to galaxies. So the fact that this is a very common misconception out there suggests to me the strong possibility that this was not a simple misstatement, but actually he has a difficult time comprehending the concept.
Right. Okay. You also stated in one of your articles that what Hubble found was a strong correlation between redshifts and distances of galaxies. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. What we call the Doppler effect here. But as an object's moving toward or away from you, the waves of anything, like sound waves of a train or a vehicle's moving towards you, they move towards you, the waves are crammed together and it goes to a higher pitch, higher frequency, and if it's moving away, it's to a lower frequency. So if a train goes past, you hear this boom as it goes past. That's that's called the Doppler effect, and we use this effect to measure how fast stars are moving toward or away from us, even galaxies. Now, what Hubble found was that galaxies show a Doppler effect towards the red end of the spectrum, longer wavelengths. There are a couple of nearby galaxies that break this rule, but the vast majority of galaxies, they have motions that suggest they're moving away from us. So we call it redshift because towards longer wavelengths is towards the red end of the spectrum, in the visible part of the spectrum it is. So we call this redshift. And I want to make one thing very clear. Well, I've compared this to Doppler effect. The modern understanding of this is that it's not really truly a Doppler effect, but just due to space expanding. This expanding universe is space itself expanding. But it doesn't matter observationally whether it's moving away from us or it's just expansion of the universe. It does look like a redshift, which just means all the radiation from these galaxies moving towards the red end of the spectrum. And then he found a correlation. The greater the distance, the greater the redshift was. And this is what you would expect if the universe is expanding. Mm. Because if a galaxy is twice as far away as another galaxy is, then you've got twice as much space between you and that other galaxy that would be expanding at some rate. And when we find the rate of expansion, that's called the Hubble constant, then you're able to use that to express how rapidly the universe is expanding.
So biblical creationists agree with cosmic expansion?
Most of us do, yeah. I have no problem with it. I think it's rather cool. You know, there are some Old Testament passages that talk about the expansion or the stretching out of the heavens. For instance, in Job 9:8, Psalm 104:2, and Isaiah 42:5. This is quite a spread, really, between prophetic and poetic books in the Old Testament. But it's mentioned a number of times, this stretching or spreading of the heavens. Now, it might mean expansion. It might not. I don't know, but a lot of people think that. And I don't have a problem with that at all. It may be related to creation. Mm-hmm. In fact, there are at least a couple of cosmological models that recent creationists put forth, like Russ Humphreys has got one, where the expansion of the universe is an integral part of that. Mm. So the expansion itself is not a problem. What we run into is that many people then say, well, if you have an expanding universe, that takes us directly to Big Bang.
Yeah, so they try to...
And even Bill Nye, by the way, made that suggestion during the debate.
They say that because of expansion that actually says there had to have been a Big Bang?
Yeah, that's the kind of argument put forth, but there are actually many different possibilities. In fact, for the first few years after the expansion was discovered, for several decades, the preferred model or explanation was that the universe is eternal, always been expanding. They call this the steady state theory or continuous creation theory. And that was really probably more popular than the Big Bang was right up until the mid-60s. So the Big Bang does not inevitably follow from expansion of the universe. I want to make that distinction very clear. You have to have expansion for the Big Bang, but it doesn't work the other way around. You can have many different possible cosmological models invoking expansion without having a Big Bang.
Now, Bill Nye actually proposed a history of the Big Bang model. What did you think of what he proposed?
The history being the history of the model, the way it developed. Yeah, he quoted supposedly Sir Fred Hoyle. I'll read here. Sir Fred Hoyle was a very famous astrophysicist, died in 2001. He's a very prominent man in the 50s and 60s in astronomy and cosmology. But this is what Bill Nye said during the debate. He said, "And then eventually another astronomer, almost a couple of decades, another astronomer, Fred Hoyle, just remarked, 'Well, it was like there was a Big Bang. There was an explosion.'" And I just about leapt out of my seat when he said that, because Sir Fred Hoyle was the major proponent of the alternate theory, the steady state theory. He hated the Big Bang theory with a passion. Bill Nye kind of confused a couple of things, because, you see, unfortunately for Sir Fred, he unwittingly gave the name Big Bang to the Big Bang theory. It was in 1949 at a BBC radio program. He was asked, we're talking about this, and he made the comment that the universe did not begin in some Big Bang. There's been dispute as if he meant that as a term of derision or just a good alliteration or whatever it was. But he said it did not begin in some Big Bang. Now, Bill Nye quoted him as saying, "Well, it's like there was a Big Bang." And I don't know how in the world you could possibly get Sir Fred's statement that wrong. Is completely opposite of what Sir Fred actually said.
Wow. That is a really big, glaring mistake.
It's huge, I think. And as I nearly jumped out of my seat. And then I thought later, well, I better read this letter, look at the transcript to see if I'm seeing this right or hearing this right. And I'm wondering if maybe there's kind of this collective amnesia going on or rewriting of history here, because just a couple of days ago, I was doing a little searching on the internet, and I found another reference where they said basically the same thing. I don't know if this is kind of taking off after what Bill said, or if Bill's a victim himself. But it's almost as if there's a kind of a shift in the retelling of the story. But I've got a better memory than that. I know that what he said there wasn't true.
Okay. Well, I just want to skip to one last thing. There was a quote that he gave about Lord Kelvin, said Lord Kelvin did a calculation. If the sun was made of coal and burning, it couldn't be more than 100,000 or so years old. Can you just sort of tell us about what you think about that quote?
Yeah, I was really, really bothered by that one, because at the time Lord Kelvin was around, people were suggesting just that thing, that there was some combustion going on, and maybe some people had arrived at an age like that. In reality, when you talk about Lord Kelvin, his calculation had to do with gravitational contraction as a source of the sun's energy. And it's called the Kelvin-Helmholtz mechanism. By the way, it works. Astronomers think it happens in stages of stars at different times. It just doesn't work long enough. And the figure is not 100,000 years. It's on the order of 30 million years or so. It's a calculation I've done myself a few times. It's pretty straightforward physics to do that. So it's not 100,000 years. It's not coal burning or oil burning. It's gravitational contraction. And if you're going to attach Lord Kelvin's name to anything like that, it's going to be that. And I was about taken aback that he had somehow messed that up.
Wow. Well, there are many other things that were said, but I think they're some of the major ones that we have talked about today. Thank you very much for being on our program, Dr. Faulkner. It's a pleasure to have you. And if anybody wants more information, there are some articles about this that Dr. Faulkner has written on the Answers in Genesis website. He has books and DVDs that are also available. And we also have the Bill Nye Ken Ham DVD pack on our Answers store as well. So thank you so much for being with us. If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.